This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Can all the children in the room hold up your hand? That's all of us. We're all somebody's child. Okay, you believe the Bible? There's a verse for you. Word for today. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Where our Christian faith is really sincere and true, it will inevitably affect every relationship that we have in life. When you became a Christian, you know that affected some of your relationships. The love of Christ has got to find its manifestation in the nursery, in the kitchen, in the workshops, in the municipal chamber. And love has got to be in our homes, in the workplace, the neighborhood. And it's got to be in the church. This is the home of love. But notice that the responsibilities inherent in our Christian faith are reciprocal. We've got to love and give on our side, just as we expect others to give on theirs. And Jesus, you know, first loved us. We didn't first love him, he first loved us. And we responded. There are cases, though, that confront us, aren't there? Where much love, compassion and forgiveness is given, but it's not reciprocated. But we, for our part as Christians, we must endeavour to remain sincere and true to the faith and the belief that we hold and still love. People tell me that marriage is 50-50. I want to tell you it isn't. Divorce is 50-50. Marriage is 100%, 100%. Kids, however young or old you are, your first duty, and I know you're going to hate this, is obedience when you're under the authority of your parents. There does come a time, and I know some of you might say, thank God, when you mature and become accountable for your own actions. And whilst maturity brings with it, a personal responsibility, you're never excused from the need to honour your parents, and especially your mother. God has so arranged life that parents are the instruments of our individual being, because God and the nature he has created gives our parents an authority to provide for us, to nurture us, to prepare us for life, and to have authority over us whilst we remain dependent upon them as children. Sorry. That authority and that oversight that they exercise is in subserviency to God himself and to his commandments. Come out. You've got a choice of which way to go, and I know which one I'd prefer. Earthly family is God's instruction for us into family life in the kingdom, with God himself as our heavenly Father. It's the model that he sets. And if you look through the scriptures, how often the kingdom of God is referred to like... Mothers often reflect the heart of God, whilst fathers tend to model godly manhood and fatherhood to us, so that we can better relate to our Father which art in heaven. I want to tell you, folks, it's the plan, and there's no plan B. It's God's model for us. And if we children will be obedient to our God-fearing parents, then we're in an advantageous position of strong faith and reverence as they are, and we will much easier be obedient to our Father in heaven. God asks from children to respect and honour parents with obedience, and to do that with an inward reverence as well as the outward expression and acts. And parents teach children to obey because it's just right to do so. It's a lifesaver for our kids, a character saver, and it prepares the child to become a responsible member of society. As Christians who have reached adulthood, who have experienced life, who know the difference between right and wrong, who have experienced the consequences for failing to obey, they instruct us and their conscience bears witness to the rightness of the guidance that they give. As parents, we ought never to plead with a child to do what is right, nor bribe it by a reward. And I encourage all parents to take your stand on that primeval sense of right and wrong, which is the foundation of morals and will be the stay of the child's whole afterlife when that child's maturity and independence is finally established. So many kids are growing up today with parents allowing them to say and do whatever they please and wonder why they can't get a job, why the boss doesn't tolerate that sort of insolence. Kids who expect to make a fortune while they're working for somebody else, and the boss is expecting them to make a fortune for him. But godly and wise parenting gives assistance and enables our children to loving obedience by removing irritation, friction, or passions in our own speech at times. It's never a successful parent who obtains obedience through fear of severe physical, verbal, or emotional repercussions. Just not the right way to go. Slaves formed a large proportion of the early church, and that's a strange thought for us. Their obedience had to be explicit because of the dreadful plight their social standing demanded under the laws of the land, the culture of those societies in those days. However, they were lovingly taught to believe that Christ took their faithful service to their earthly owner as service to himself. And it's not that slavery was ever right, but it was God's way of overcoming the man-made laws and customs of the time. And to balance their plight, it was demanded of masters by Christ that they've got to deal with their servants in a righteous manner, as they were liable to be called to account by the great master of all. And the center of all authority is Christ, and he will demand an account of our treatment of every servant he has sent into our homes, as he will of our adherence to his commandments. Ephesians 6:3 is a really incredible verse. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Wow, that it may be well with thee. That's from the fifth commandment, Deuteronomy 5:16. Honour thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. And the meaning here is that they would be more happy, they would be more useful, they would be more successful, more virtuous if they obeyed their parents than if they disobeyed them. And that's true of our walk with God. Thou mayest live long on the earth, Exodus 20:12. The promise is that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives you. And this referred to the promised land, the land of Canaan, as much as it does today to the land in which we find ourselves living today. And the meaning, doubtless, is that there would be a special providence of length of days for obedient children. Now, Lynn's mum turned 100 last week, and I'm still working out whether that applies here. Long life was regarded as a great blessing, and this blessing was promised to us. By obeying our parents, God is training us to obey him. And obeying him brings blessing. First the natural, then the spiritual. The apostle here gives to the promise a reality. Obedience to parents is connected at all times with long life, just as our obedience to God is connected to a fruitful and a successful and a joyous and a happy life. Long life is a blessing. Length of life affords a longer space to prepare for eternity, enables a person to be more useful. It furnishes a longer opportunity to study the works of God on earth and to serve him. It's not improper to desire it, and we should make use of all the means in our power to lengthen out our days and to preserve and protect our lives. Secondly, it's still true that obedience to parents is conducive to length of life, and that those who are most obedient in early life, other things being equal, have the best prospect of living long. Now, I believe that because my mother told me once that she could take me out. Obedient children are saved from the vices and crimes which shorten life. No parent commands his child to be a drunkard, a gambler, a spendthrift, a thief, a robber, a pirate, a murderer. But these vices and crimes, when you track them through, result in most cases from disobedience to parents, from family breakup. And they all shorten life. And they who early commit them usually end up in an early grave. No child who disobeys a parent can ever have any security that he will not fall a victim to the ways of the world. Obedience to parents is connected with virtuous habits that are conducive to long life. Makes a child industrious, makes them sober, temperate. It leads them to restraint, self-restraint the best, and to govern wild passions. It leads them to form habits of self-government, which in future life actually saves us all. The best governance upon all of us is self-governance. Much better that we govern ourselves than somebody has to stand over us all the time telling us what to do. Today, we're here to worship the Lord, and we're here to honour our mothers especially. Dads, you've got to wait till September for the treatment, and I think God knew that, and he arranged the footy final about the same time. Not only are we commanded to honour our mothers, it's in reality a very sensible and loving thing to do. And many of us here today wish we had our mothers living so that we could honour them yet again, remember them and love them just one more time. I read a story of a six-year-old boy who separated from his mother in a supermarket and he began to call frantically for Martha, Martha, Martha. Well, that was his mother's name and she came running to him quickly. But honey, she had said, you shouldn't call me Martha, I'm mother to you. And he said, I know, but this supermarket is full of mothers and I didn't want them, I wanted you. Our world is full of mothers. But each of us has only one mother who is special to us individually. And I want to acknowledge those whose experience of their mother wasn't as it should have been or as God ordained it to be. And I can empathise with you in that. But in the main, there is no one like Mum. No one can take the place of Mum. Someone once wrote, you've turned into a mum when you automatically double knot everything you tie. You find yourself humming the ABC Kids song as you do the dishes. You hear a baby cry in the grocery store and you start to gently sway back and forth, back and forth, even though your own children are married. You actually start to like the smell of strained carrots mixed with apple sauce. And you spend a half hour searching for your sunglasses to have your teenage say, Mum, why don't you wear the ones that are on the top of your head? Now, my mother taught me a lot about life, a huge amount about life. She taught me to appreciate hard work in the house. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished the cleaning. She taught me about the power of prayer. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. She taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. She taught me logic, because I said so. She taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. She taught me irony. Keep crying, I'll give you something to cry about. She taught me about osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. She taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until that spinach is all gone. She taught me about the weather. This room of yours looks as if a tornado went through it. She taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, I can take you out. She taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. She taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. She taught me about anticipation. Just wait till you get home. She taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when you get home. She taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, the wind will change and you'll stay like that. She taught me about how to become an adult. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. She taught me about my roots. Shut the door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? And she taught me about wisdom. When you get to my age, you'll understand. But she taught me about justice as well. One day, you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. So on Mother's Day, we can't say enough good things about our mothers, but we're going to try. But there's just three thoughts I want to share with you. And they come from one of those famous Proverbs, number 31. And it talks about her hands work. A boy got his first job. He was boasting about the amount of work he did. He said, I get up at 5, have my breakfast. And he was asked, does anyone else get up too? He replied, oh yeah, Mum, she's up before me and she fixes my breakfast and then she fixes Dad's breakfast. And what about your dinner? Oh, well, she does that too. Does your mother have the afternoon to herself? No, she's got to clean the house, look after the kids, get supper for me and Dad when we get home, then we watch TV before we go to bed. What about your mother? Does she watch TV? No, she washes clothes, she irons, she gets, you know, she does all that before she goes to bed. Do you get paid? Of course, Dad and I get paid. What about your mother? Does she get paid? Mother, get paid, but she doesn't work. If anyone here today believes that mums don't work, I'm suggesting right now, keep your mouth shut for the rest of the day. We see that mothers do all kinds of work. That scripture shows that in particularly verse 13, 19, 22, Proverbs 31, she selects wool, she works with eager hands, she shops, verse 14, she brings her food from afar, she cooks, verse 15, she provides food for her family, she gardens, she plants a vineyard, verse 16. And it also says that she gets up while it is still dark to prepare food, and verse 18, her lamp does not go out at night. There's an old saying that man works from sun up to sundown, but woman's work is never done. Verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Our mums are such busy, hardworking people who don't even know or understand the word lazy. My mother had 10 children, and many of you know something about those days of wartime, the Great Depression, of poverty, and poor medical treatments. Days when there was nothing fancy in our homes, no extras, no hot and cold running water, cloth nappies, no washing machines or refrigerators, no mod cons. Everything was done by hand. Mothers worked hard, cooked meals, cleaned houses, washed clothes, ironed clothes, sewed tears, preserved fruit, shopped daily, tilled a vegetable garden, acted as a nurse, and a million other things. And she did that because she loves us. Because she loves us. Her hands work, but her mouth speaks as well. Proverbs 31:26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. When preacher John Wesley was a student at Oxford University, he was shocked by the amount of drinking done by the students. I thought he ought to hang around the University of Melbourne these days. After writing to his mother, Susanna Wesley, for her counsel, he received the following words, "My dear son, remember that anything which increases the authority of your body over your mind is an evil thing." Great instruction. I'm sure that Susanna Wesley said a lot of other good words of wisdom to her children as well. But often when we think back, we remember some of those great gems that our mothers spoke into our lives. A London editor submitted to Winston Churchill for his approval a list of all those who had been Churchill's teachers. And Churchill returned the list with this comment, "You've omitted to mention the greatest of my teachers, my mother." And preacher G. Campbell Morgan had four sons, and they all became ministers of the gospel. In a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" And whilst the eldest son looked at his father, he said, "Mother." Mother was the greatest preacher. Many mothers have done a lot of preaching to their children, whether they considered it preaching or not. Their actions, their words, their gestures, their constant love, affection. Now, I do remember that my mother washed my mouth out with soap a time or two, which meant I said something wrong. And I'm sure she said something to me about it too, probably with just as many expletives omitted. The third thing I want to say about mothers is that their heart loves. It's not a duty. It's not something they've learned. They just love. Proverbs 31 verse 11 says, "Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." And I can embarrass Lynn considerably now by just saying that's how I feel about my darling, exactly what she has been to myself as a husband and to her children as a mother. And if a husband has full or complete confidence in his wife, then you know that she's a woman who loves her man. I read a tombstone once, and up in the cemetery at Yan Yean, and it just simply had on it, "She always made home happy." And I thought, wow, that's love. A grandmother was telling her granddaughter goodnight when the little girl said, "Mummy and Daddy are entertaining some very important people downstairs." And Grandma said, "You're right, but how did you know?" And she said, "Well, listen, Mummy's laughing at Daddy's jokes." There's a lot of laughter in a home. And when you hear that, you just know that this is a good place to be. There's something delightful in this house. And there needs to be more laughter in the home. And frankly, folks, there needs to be more laughter in the church as well. Proverbs 17:22, "A cheerful heart is good medicine." And when there is a lot of laughter in the home, often generated by mum, someone is putting out the good medicine. And it shows the love. There's another story of a young boy at school who was asked by his teacher that if there was a pie and there were 10 of you, what size would your portion be? And he kept saying 9, 1/9. And she said, "You don't know your fractions." And he said, "You don't know my mum. She'd say she didn't need any pie tonight." The unselfishness of a mother shows a heart of love for her family. And all of us can remember many unselfish acts of devotion that our mothers made to our homes. Thomas Edison said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never have likely become an inventor." Wow. Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." So one thing I'd really love all of us to do is make sure sometime today, if your mum's still with us, get in touch, let her know how much you love her and what a blessing she's been to your life. Mums, you've been a blessing to your children and you've been a blessing to this church. I'm going to ask all of you mums to come out the front and just line up here in front of me, because we want to collectively pray over you. And we want you to leave here today knowing that you are valued and that you are appreciated, that God's favour is upon you for being faithful in your role as a mother. You know, when people ask in today's world, what's your role? And it's sad that so many mums reluctantly say, "Well, I'm a stay-home mother," or "I look after the house," or something like that. You know, it's the most important role in society. And future generations depend on how well that role is taken. So mums, would you come forward? Dear Father, we come before your throne on behalf of these mums. these mothers whom you've entrusted with the care of your most precious little ones. You've chosen them for each one, Lord, perfectly picked, that they might love them and care for them and nurture them. You've chosen them because they have a heart for that child that you've given them. We thank you for creating each mum with a unique combination of gifts and talents. And we thank you for the sacrifice of self that each of these mothers has given for her children. For late nights spent rocking a colicky infant. For the hands callous from washing and wiping and scrubbing and mixing and backing and stirring and hugging and patting and disciplining, holding, writing, erasing, painting, pouring, all those things, Lord. We thank you for the gift of time that these mums have given for their kids. And Father, we're not differentiating between stay-at-home mums, working mums, or mums who have some combination of the two. We thank you for their flexibility, for their tirelessness, for their perseverance, their devotion. We pray that you give each mother here strength. Help her to see in every mundane task the eternal significance that you place on her service and her motherhood. I pray, God, that you help each one to understand that the most radical, world-changing events are probably happening quite anonymously in her home. And help her to forgive those who undermine in any way her significance. We do pray especially for single mums who must lean solely on you for the fathering of their children. We thank you that your big arms surround children who may never know their earthly father. We pray for mothers who never had the honour of bearing children, but whose nurturing extends to the many poor and needy who cross the threshold of their lives, for those who are spiritual mothers and demonstrate that love of God and nurturing that you want that person to experience. We ask you to be the daily bread of tired mothers. We ask you to be their living water to satisfy their thirst. We ask you to be their source of spiritual and physical strength. And we pray that the same grace that flowed from father to son to us in salvation will flow from mothers to their children. And we pray that each mother can find it to reject perfectionism but embrace the goodness of the gospel. We pray the rhythm of repentance and forgiveness will shape their homes. Lord, give each mother a worshipful reverence of you, the creator and sustainer of life, and let that be so contagious to their children. Help each mother to rest in the knowledge that they are but stewards of these kids and that only your spirit can produce change into the hearts of each boy and each girl. And may each mother find her rest in you. Most of all, Lord, on this day in which we honour mothers, may we love and cherish the special women who have borne us, who have nurtured us, who have prayed for our well-being, who have stayed up late at night just covering us in prayer. May our hearts overflow with gratitude to you for each one of them. You formed and knitted each of us in a mother's womb. And we thank you, Father, for the blessing that you bestowed upon us for our mums, for the mums here. We pray that blessing in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.